Ukraine came one small step closer today to membership in the European Union. At a meeting in Paris, EU leaders offered the country an association agreement. And if that sounds vague, that's because it is. It only implies possible future membership. The Ukrainians had been pressing for more than symbolic gestures, especially as Russia tries to roll back Western influence among its neighbors. NPR's Anne Garrels reports from the Ukrainian capital, Kiev.
Alex Frischberg, an American lawyer with Ukrainian roots, set up shop in Kiev 17 years ago, just after the breakup of the Soviet Union. Ukraine, the size of France, had just become an independent country. And it was a bleak place.
There was nothing. There was darkness, pitch darkness, and no restaurants. I was like the only foreigner in the city of Kiev, it seemed.
Kiev's downtown is now charming, full of restored architectural gems, name-brand stores, and high-end restaurants. Local mafias no longer shake down businesses. In 2004, Ukrainians rejected authoritarian rule in what was called the Orange Revolution. But now it's shaken by political chaos, and with this, government corruption. Alex Frischberg points to lines of shiny Bentleys and Jaguars parked outside the Decadence Club.
The important thing to note is nobody here gives loans for cars, so whatever cars you see are bought for in cash. This is a member of parliament. That's his license plate. 12-cylinder Mercedes. Brabus. It's a special edition. Really, really nice. Oh, excuse me. Mercedes is about to run you over. No joke.
The gap between the wealthy, usually with close ties to the government, and the rest of the population is huge. Doctors make $300 a month, teachers perhaps
$200.
In a nearby underpass, street cleaner Sergei Markopolsky says his rent outstrips the $16 he makes a day, and inflation now tops 20%. But he remains optimistic one day Ukraine will be part of Europe and like Europe. 19-year-old university student Maria Hukolo also hopes her country will soon be part of Europe, and as she says, more civilized.
It's pretty awful, terrible corruption. Our greatest problem is that those who are in charge of our country don't actually care about us, ordinary people. So.
The latest political crisis saw the collapse last week of a shaky coalition between President Viktor Yushchenko and Prime Minister Yulia Tymoshenko. Yaroslav Kinok, a Canadian banker and consultant, says this will yet again delay legislation necessary for investment and greater integration with the West.
Laws on private ownership, while they exist, they are cumbersome and complex, very often inconsistent. If you are going to invest large amounts of money, you want certainty that, you know, no one will upset your contract or your rights.
Kinnock says political conflict plays into the hands of those who want to keep Ukraine out of Europe. There are some in Europe who are leery of expanding the European Union beyond its already unwieldy 27 members. There are others who don't want to upset Russia by embracing Ukraine. Pro-Western politicians like Boris Tarasyuk argue for all Ukraine's problems, it is moving forward, and he warns Europe against letting Russia dictate Ukraine's future.
There is no common foreign and security policy in the European Union. And this is the reason for Russia to try to divide the EU member states, like the former Soviet Union used to do.
Disappointed with today's EU summit, political scientist Oleksiy Goran says Ukraine needs firm promises about the future.
So we understand that we are not ready for EU accession right now. But what we need is to say that, okay, when you will qualify, you will be included. When you will qualify for that.
While acknowledging Ukraine is sometimes a difficult partner, Garan asks what Europe really would prefer. Ukraine's political mess, what he calls real democracy in the making, or the managed democracy that has evolved in Vladimir Putin's Russia. Anne Garrels, NPR News, Kiev.